on this lovely Monday. Blessings to all my wonderful partners. Today, I have a beautiful teaching for you. How to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we're going to have such a good time today together. I want to say my hellos this lovely Monday. We're going to have a great week this week, all of us. Together, I mean. So get ready for a glorious week this week in the Lord. Christmas is this week, right? Oh my goodness. So Christmas is this, what is it? This Thursday, is it, or this Friday?
Friday.
Today is the 21st, so hello to Danielle and hello to Sugi. I saw you yesterday, Sugi, on that healing service. Hello to Rahul. And hello to Mayonin. Wow, I love that name. Kurian. Hello to Kurian. I had such a beautiful healing service yesterday. I was so touched with that couple from Iran. Oh, did they, by the way, get hold of us? I didn't see the email from them yet. Hello to Onyikachi. Onyikachi says, I love you, Papa. Thank you. Love you, too. Hello to Dihab and Briskila. Hello to Al Nesher and Ajana. Boy, you have the most amazing names, all of you sweet people. Hello to Shivani, Evangelist Usman. Hello to Alga. Wow. Tell your friends for today's teaching how to receive the baptism of the Blessed Holy Spirit. This will be glorious. All right. Hello to Glenn, Matthew, and hello to Winnie. You're still coming on, all of you sweet people. Hello to Bridget, Frank Muwalo. I'm glad I'm saying it slow because I don't want to mess up the names, you know. Hello to Ada. Look at all of them. I love it. Sweet Lord, today, Lord, I pray what I will share will so bless your people that they'll be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, keep them filled daily, I pray, in your wonderful name, Jesus. Bring us close to you, Lord, with our hearts burning, lit up with fire, the fires of love for you. Hallelujah. And God's people said, amen. All right, now, let's look at Acts chapter 2. Because what I want to talk to you about is, how can we obtain this glorious experience? What must we do to obtain this glorious experience? And, you know, God wants to fill you daily, but every day we need to make sure we do what the Bible tells us. In Acts 2, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And the promise is quite clear, and ye shall receive. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So what Peter is saying here is something powerful. Number one, repent, and then be baptized in water, that is. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, baptism is the outward declaration of repentance. Baptism basically says, I've made a decision. I'm turning away from my sin. I'm turning to the Lord. I'm going to give him my life completely. I'm turning away from the world. I'm turning away from myself. And I'm looking to Jesus completely and totally. So that's what baptism really is. It's the declaration. It's the act, you know. But now, repentance from sin is the first step turning away from sin and turning to God completely and totally. You know, he that forsaketh, it says, he that confesseth and forsaketh shall find mercy. So you can't find mercy till you confess your sin. That's in 1 John, remember that, chapter 1. You have to confess your sin, and then you have to forsake your sin, not go back to it. And this is where baptism comes, because baptism says, I'm making a definite decision and a public decision. I will not go back to my sin. And that's when God's power comes upon you to enable you to stay free from sin and live righteously and be empowered for service. So that's what repentance is, and that's what it must be. It has to be, of course. Now, we must reject our sins. And that is really what is also meant by obedience. So if you look at Acts chapter 5, verse 32, God is asking us to do one more thing. To receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we must obey. So in Acts 5:32, it says, and we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. So obedience means the entire surrender of our life to the Lord. Obedience means the entire surrender of our will to the Lord. True obedience means we come to the Lord and we say, here am I, Lord. I'm yours. You bought me with a price, and I acknowledge your ownership. Take me and do what you will with my life. Think about what I'm saying. True obedience is when I completely surrender. When I completely surrender my life, my will to the Lord. And when I come to him and I say to the Lord, and I say it from my heart, here am I, Lord. I am totally 100% yours. You bought me. You paid a heavy price for my life. You purchased me with your blood. I no longer belong to myself. I acknowledge you as my Lord. I acknowledge your ownership over my life. Now, Lord, you take me and you do with me whatever you will. That's true surrender. Because obedience to the Lord means we have to follow his will, you know. Obey his word and follow his will. And you know, God reveals his will to us in his word. So you cannot, no one can be baptized with the Holy Spirit if they're living in disobedience. We have to repent. We have to be baptized in water. Not just to get wet, by the way. We have to be really baptized in water as that act of total commitment to the Lord. And then we surrender completely to him. We surrender completely to him. And we say, Lord, I'm here. I'm ready to follow your will for my life. And, of course, anyone who obeys the Lord wants to find out what the will is. That's why we all read our Bibles, to see the will of God. And if we refuse to do what God tells us, even in the smallest matters, God will shut us out from that blessing in our life. He'll say no. So we have to make that absolute decision. Now, once we do, once we repent, truly repent, and we are baptized in water, and we begin to obey the Lord, like it says in Acts 5:32. Now we ask. We have to ask for the baptism. Because, see, the Lord Jesus said something beautiful in Luke. You know, I'm giving you a real Bible, real Bible. You know, a lot of people say, you know, well, my pastor told me just to ask for it. Well, yeah, but did your pastor ever tell you you have to repent too? And you have to be baptized. And you have to obey the Lord before you ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So in Luke 11, you know, and I want you to be a real solid Christian. We have to be in these days especially. Solid believers. Luke 11, 13 says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? You have to ask. To them that ask him. So, you know, people say, well, you know, since I have the Holy Spirit, like, why must I ask to receive him? Since I have him already, because I'm saved. Well, there's a big difference between having the Holy Spirit and being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Big difference. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. You can't be saved without having the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about having the Holy Spirit in your, you know, in your heart when you receive him at salvation. That is the work of God. When you repent and you ask the Lord to come into your heart, you will be saved by the Holy Spirit. But the baptism is not the same thing. The baptism really is for service. It's for power. It's for victory in the Christian life. So there's a big difference between having the Holy Spirit and being baptized. Let me show it to you. Let me show it to you. Let's look at John, the Gospel of John, and let's look at chapter 20, and let's look at verse 19 and verse 20. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. The Lord rose from the grave, from the dead that day. Now that Sunday night, he's there with them. And he says, peace be unto you. They saw him. They heard him. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now I'm going to keep reading. Then said Jesus to them, this is verse 21. Again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Look at verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. At that moment they were born again. But then later, what did the Lord say to them? So here in John 20, verse 19 through 22, the Lord comes and now they're born again, they're saved. But then in Acts 1, he tells them to do something now. They have to do something themselves. So the first, the Lord did it. Salvation is the Lord's work. The baptism is still the Lord's work, but we have to ask for it. We have to wait for it. We have to do the right things to receive it. So in Acts 1, beginning at verse 2, right through verse 5, it says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he threw the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion or after his suffering, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. So they had to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit, and they waited for 10 days in the upper room, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Meaning, I have told you about the coming of the Holy Spirit, is what Jesus was saying to him. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence, not far from now. It was 10 days later, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what is so remarkable is what the Lord said here in verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, meaning that has to do with your salvation. This is something additional. Baptism with water, salvation. This is additional. So you must be baptized with water for salvation. But now there's another baptism that they had not heard of. Ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. What a blessed promise. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit was given in answer to prayer. And this is something we constantly ask for, in fact, daily. We don't have to ask daily to be saved, you know. But daily we ask the Lord to fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. Now this is why I'm bringing this teaching to you, to remind you. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit on what happened to you yesterday. That's gone. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a daily walk. It's a daily baptism. We get baptized in water one time. We don't have to be baptized in water daily, because salvation is a one-time experience. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a daily infilling. And the day you don't ask is the day God will not do it. And the day you don't obey, he'll not give it to you. Yes, now someone I'm sure is asking, do I repent every day? Well, you live in a state of repentance. That's what I used to always love reading, Mother Basilia Schling's books, Repentance, the Joyful Life, you know. One of the greatest books you'll ever read in your life. Look it up online. Repentance, the Joy-Filled Life by Basilia Schling. She was a Lutheran sister, amazing order. They have a place in Phoenix, here in the U.S., but their main place is in Darmstadt, Germany, not far from Frankfurt. And I've been there, and I love their ministry. I was deeply touched by the ministry of Basilia Schling, Mother Basilia Schling. Look that up. And if you can't remember the name, Basilia Schling, at least remember the book, Repentance, the Joy-Filled Life. The two greatest books I've ever read in my life. Would you like to know? The two books that have touched my life more than any others. My All for Him by Basilia Schling, and Repentance, the Joy-Filled Life. They transformed my life when I was young. And I tell people all the time, if you want your life transformed, there's two books you got to read. My All for Him, and Repentance, the Joy-Filled Life. Now, some people don't agree with, you know, repenting daily. Well, it's not about repenting daily. Living in sad, horrible, you know. No, come on. Repentance is joyful. What is repentance? It's not crying over my sin. It's surrender with joy to the Lord. Lord, I don't want the world. I repented this morning. And I didn't repent this morning because I sinned, you know, or did something foolish. I just said, Lord, just clean me up one more time, please. Wash me with your blood, because we all sin every day, even when we don't think about it, we're doing it. We say things we shouldn't say. We do things we shouldn't do. We think things we shouldn't think. I said, Lord, wash me afresh with your blood. Make me whole on the inside. Well, that's repentance. That's asking God, I don't want to live the way, you know, my body wants, you know, the flesh wants to. You know, I don't want that. I'm not going to say yes to the flesh. Well, that's repentance. Repentance is when we say no to the flesh, no to the world. Lord, I'm sorry I did whatever and thought whatever. We, every day, Larry King one time, you know, was interviewing a group of preachers. And he had these two or three or four preachers at one time. And one of them was E.V. Hill. He was a wonderful man of God and a friend of mine. And he had some big names on that show. That was on CNN years ago. He said, do you sin? And the first guy said, no. And the second guy said, no. And the third guy said, no. And we're like, what? Did we always hear this? And E.V. Hill said, every day. He was the only honest one on that program. He said, I said every day. He was an African-American pastor in Los Angeles. I loved him dearly. Oh, he was one of my favorites. He used to have what was called the Lord's Kitchen, you know, down in Los Angeles. I used to go down and help him. And I loved him dearly. He was a mighty man of God. And I thought, good for you, Pastor Evie. You're the only honest one on that program. But he said something powerful. And he took his handkerchief like this, and he put it over something. I can't remember what was on the table. He said, you know, he said, when God looks at me, he sees me through the blood. He said, I sin every day, but when God looks, he sees me through the blood of Jesus. And he doesn't see my sin. I thought, whoa, isn't that great? But anyways, we all fail. We all miserably fail every day, you know, because we're human beings, you know. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, okay? So that's just life. So we come to the Lord, not because, you know, we've done something horrible, but we're all doing something anyways, all of us. Lord, just forgive me for the things I thought and the things I said and the things I didn't want to do. And cleanse me afresh today with your precious blood. Smith Wigglesworth used today, he took a daily bath in the blood of Jesus. I love it. Wash me, Lord, with your blood and sanctify my soul and make me whole. That's what I'm talking about. But that book will tell it all. Repentance, the joy-filled life. You'll do yourself a great favor, I'm telling you. Okay, now, let's quickly look at just some scriptures that I think are important that you need to look at. Acts 1:14. Ooh, I like this one. Look what it says. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. So, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the result of continual prayer. Because it says these continued in one accord in prayer. So prayer keeps us filled and refilled tomorrow. And then you look at Acts chapter 2. Of course, we all know the beautiful portion. When now it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, this is Acts 2 verse 1 and on, suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like fire. It set upon each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I love what it says in Acts 4. And this is why I say it's a daily experience. Because here we see they were filled again. So the baptism wasn't just a one-time experience. It says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. It's Acts 4:31. The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's another infilling. and they speak the word of God with boldness. Wait, I'm not done yet. Look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 15. I'm giving you scriptures about this. Hallelujah. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. So this is so precious. Peter comes to the house of Cornelius and prays. And now it happens. He goes to Samaria. He prays. It happens. They were filled with the Holy Spirit continually. Not only themselves, but the people they ministered to. And look at Acts 8 again, verse 16 and 17. Oh, this is so lovely. Don't you love it? For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. This happened in Samaria. When Philip had gone to preach the gospel and miracles happened, and then they came to see what's going on, and they prayed over the believers, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and so many other scriptures. So prayer implies desire. So there must be a deep desire in each one of us before God really fills us. So as long as someone thinks they can do without holy desire, well, they're going to be living very powerless lives. So tomorrow I'm going to talk about holy desire, how that fits in with that, because there's going to be an intense desire for it. You know, we should not ask just so we can have a picnic with God, you know. The baptism is not for picnics. The baptism is for power in service and power in the Christian life. And tomorrow I want to talk about the power that belongs to every one of you to live victoriously over sin and over devils and over Satan himself. Power for living. Tomorrow. Don't you miss it. If you miss it, you're going to miss a lot tomorrow. In fact, tomorrow will be probably better than today. Wonderful, Lord. I thank you for your people. Lord, I pray you will bless them. Even now, Lord, baptize them with the Holy Spirit. Let this be their day today. Let this be their day for a fresh infilling. Your word declares, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak into yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. Fill that one, Lord, who's asking you now for that infilling. Lead them today, I pray, to do what is right in your blessed presence, and fill them afresh in Jesus' sweet, darling name. Amen. Now, it's your turn to pray, and I want you to ask the Lord. Now, when I get off, we're done live here, you just get on your knees and talk to the Lord, and you do what I told you, okay? And you'll see God will fill you today. You'll start speaking in an unknown tongue with such fresh, beautiful words coming out of your lips. You'll be singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And you're going to have a beautiful day today and a beautiful week and a beautiful Christmas. Just be filled. This is our job, huh? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is something we ask for. Now, I'm going to ask God to bless you financially. I believe before the end of the year, a miracle is coming your way. I really believe that. I was telling dear friends of mine yesterday on the phone, it's impossible to sow and not reap. It's impossible to sow and not reap. So God Almighty is going to bless you. And I have a word for many of you. God is about to surprise you with a surprise harvest. I'm telling you that. You know, I think a lot of people are afraid of the future. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid at all. The Lord has the future in his hands. You know, you remember that song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. You bet. Everything is fine. All is well. All we have to do is honor the Lord. It says, honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of all your increase. That means your tithe. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and your presses will burst out with new wine. God will take care of you. Because he promised, I have not seen the righteous forsaken. I keep reminding you, I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. All you have to do is simply obey the Lord when it comes to giving. That's probably the hardest thing to do for us. It's like giving God our money. Well, it's not hard if we have given him our life. Nobody has a problem giving God their money if they have given him their life. The only people that have a problem is those who have not surrendered their life to the Lord. Because once your heart is his, your treasure is his. Huh? Where your heart is, there is your treasure. But think about the way God blesses you back. I mean, he rewards you over and over and over, and he'll take care of you. You know, if God took care of you when things are well, you'll never recognize his hand. But when God begins to bless you when things are bad out there, you say, ah, it's God that's doing this. So get ready for a surprise. It's time to give now. You can sow your seed, whatever amount God tells you, you just obey him. You can sow that seed right now to Benny Hinn Ministries. You can do it online right there where it says donate or give, right on the platform you're watching me on. Or just go to BennyHinn.org online, or simply text BHM45777. BHM45777. And by the way, if you missed the healing service, watch it. It's still online. Oh, it was wonderful yesterday. And then I went from there to Calvary Assembly. Had an amazing time there. I'm going to show you that probably this week sometimes. We'll show. Lovely. Okay, and join BHI, Benny Hinn Institute. I have my class today at 7 p.m. East Coast tonight. You can be a part of BHI. That's my institute, Bible school, really. You know, I give you milk